From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Some U.S. diplomatic posts in Afghanistan and Iraq, for instance, are opening, but posts in at least 19 Muslim countries will stay closed for this entire week after yesterday's unprecedented closing of 22 U.S. posts around the world because of what the White House is calling a very credible threat of a terrorist attack that is specific as to how enormous it was going to be.
Meanwhile, the State Department says the worldwide travel alert for all Americans traveling abroad remains in effect until the end of this month. But the details about all of this remain cloudy. Nicole Gawet is U.S. foreign policy reporter for Bloomberg News, and she's with us from Washington. Nicole, first of all, what do we know today about all this that we didn't know on Friday when it first broke?
Well, the list of embassies is changing a little. The State Department has decided to reopen some, and in locations that on the face of it seem a little surprising. In Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Algeria, we've seen, especially in Afghanistan and Iraq, a fair level of terrorist activity, so that's a surprise. They've also added a couple of locations, some embassies in Africa. There hasn't been much of an explanation for that. They are, unlike the other countries on the list, not Muslim countries. So there's a lot that we still don't know.
What more do we know about the source of the threat?
Well, lawmakers over the weekend continued to point very intently at al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. That's a Yemen-based group, and it is considered the most dangerous of all the various al-Qaeda affiliates. They are the people who were behind the 2009 Christmas Day attempt to bomb a plane over Detroit. You may remember the next year they had smuggled some explosives onto a cargo flight that was bound for the U.S. And in June, their leader released a video urging attacks on U.S. targets and praising the Tsarnaev brothers, who were behind the attack on the Boston Marathon. So they are a real worry for the administration. And in the days leading up to the terror attack, we saw a string of drone attacks on suspected al-Qaeda militants inside Yemen. There were six on the July 28th, another three a few days later, another three a few days after that.
And Nicole, we're specifically hearing about, from ABC News, for example, about this idea of surgically implanted devices designed to defeat U.S. detection methods.
Yes, yes. That's been appearing in the British press as well. Jeremy, it's so hard to say. I think certainly intelligence agencies have seen this sort of thing before. Just because we are all waiting for the next shoe to drop, there may be a little, this might be sort of anxious speculation. It's very hard to tell.
Does the threat extend to the U.S. itself, to within our borders?
Yes, yes. Intelligence officials are very clearly warning that inside the U.S., inside Europe is a possibility. I think they put far greater odds on this happening somewhere in the Middle East. But that's not to say people shouldn't be just alert.
Now, Nicole, I'm going to ask this question. It may sound silly, but why couldn't terrorists just postpone their attacks until after this date that the embassies are supposed to reopen, or until after the month of August when this worldwide travel ban goes away?
You know, there's
travel ban.
No reason.
I should have said travel alert.
No, that's fine. In fact, it's one thing that intelligence officials are worried about, because there are a few odd things about this chatter that they've picked up, which is communication on mobile phones, satellite phones, online. And generally, al-Qaeda avoids these ways of communicating. They prefer couriers, which, you know, it's so low-tech. You can't pick that up on an electronic intercept. So intelligence officials are worried about whether they're trying to throw security officials off on either the timing or the location. Just the fact that the administration has come out so publicly about these warnings may lead them to delay as well.
All right. Nicole Gawet from Bloomberg News, U.S. foreign policy reporter. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.